I sometimes have a tendency, when I'm excited about what I'm preaching on, I have a tendency to preach fast. And sometimes when I preach fast, I don't make my points as well and as clear as I would like. And this morning, it is my goal to be clear with everything that we say and do this morning. I mentioned 2 weeks ago, I started a series of messages that were taken from the book of Nehemiah. The message I preached 2 weeks ago was titled, A Church Adrift. I titled it that because in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, I mentioned this 2 weeks ago, I kind of give us the history, the timeline. But in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, they had rebuilt the temple. If you'll remember, Babylon came in and took Jerusalem captive and took them 900 miles away. Now the 70 years that God said you would be there is now over. So God now allows the people to go back to Jerusalem. Ezra leads a group back, and they're starting to rebuild the temple. Well, they get back over there, and they build on the temple. They get the foundation laid. It took 2 years to relay the foundation, but because of the enemy around them that didn't want it rebuilt, they stopped building. God had to send another prophet in there to tell them, look, stop what you're doing, finish rebuilding the temple. So they got started again, and it took them 21 years to rebuild the temple that had been destroyed now some 100 years prior to that. So now they've got the temple built. Keep this in mind. You've got this temple built there. You've got a wall around Jerusalem that is that's just crumbled down. The enemy is still able to come and go as they please. And when I say the enemy, when the nation of Israel lost the battle to the Babylonians, hey, the people in the surrounding area, they just come and moved in around Jerusalem. These people that had been taken captive, they left houses and vineyards and things unabandoned. They just abandoned them because they'd been taken captive. Well, these guys just come in and, man, they was just making themselves at home. They just made themselves home in Jerusalem. And everything was fine. They liked it just like that. Well, these group of Israelites came back. They rebuilt the temple. But now listen, these people in the community still had the free rein to come in and go as they please, because there was no sense of protection, no wall of resistance keeping them from coming in. I'll tell you what happened. Over the years, between the time the temple was built, 71 years pass before God lays a burden on Nehemiah's heart to go back and rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. Okay? But during that 71 years of period of time, this is what started taking place. They just got to going through the motions at the temple. You read in the scriptures, you find out that the priests were going to the temple and they were making sacrifices every day just like they were supposed to. But then privately, after they done their due at the temple, then they went into caves, and they were going into these caves and they were worshiping idols and gods inside these caves. Listen, they were just playing church. Do you know how many people you can reach when you play church? No one. You can't reach anybody because people see right through your facade. I'm telling you, people are looking for God today, and they're looking for God in people who go to church. But listen, if we're just playing church, they're not seeing anything that they want. I'll tell you what, though. You get a born-again believer that's having a relationship with God, oh my goodness, people recognize it. They recognize it. As a matter of fact, remember we talked about this wall that's around Jerusalem, and we talked about not only did God send Nehemiah back to rebuild the wall, but because these people are just playing church, they're just going through the motions of what God has told them to do, this is what Nehemiah is going back to do. This wall represents a relationship with God. We mentioned that. This is what Nehemiah is going back to do, not only to rebuild a wall, that's the physical thing, but the spiritual thing, he's going back to rebuild the relationship from Israel, which has fallen away from this relationship, and he's going to rebuild this relationship. Now, I mentioned that in the Scriptures we read about a wall that he talks about. I mentioned this one a couple of weeks ago when we read in Job chapter 1 and verse number 10. I guess go ahead and put the Scripture screen up there. I don't want to scare everybody, but we're just now getting started in Job chapter 1 and verse 10. Hey, listen. I promise. I'm going to reference all these. I won't read them all. But let me tell you what probably part of the problem in our world today is when people stand up and they give one scripture and then they don't, and that's all you get in a whole message. But we need to know what God's word is, okay? And I want you to know this is none of my opinion. This is all his opinion. So that's why I'm saying this. But in Job chapter 1 and verse number 10, old Satan has gone into heaven and he says, Hey, Satan, he asked Satan, God asked Satan, he said, what you been doing? He's been going to and fro in the earth. And God says, hey, have you considered my servant Job? He says, yeah, I've considered him. He said, but you put a hedge of protection around him. I can't touch him because you've got this hedge. That's the wall I'm talking about. As a matter of fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, I'm going to read this. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, it says this, and this is God talking about this wall that he will put around people who will be obedient to him. He says, and it will come to pass, if thou will hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all the commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. If you'll be obedient to me, I'm going to set you on high. And then he says this, and these things he will bless when you come in, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord. Blessed shall be you in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall you be in the fruit of the body, and the fruit of the ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket at thy store. Blessed shall be thou when thou comest in, and blessed shall be you when you go out. Listen, if you'll be obedient to God, this is the promises that he has given us. He's going to bless you. That is that wall that we're talking about. Man, when you're having a relationship with God and being obedient to him, I want you to know, in turn, God is going to protect and provide for us. In Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, when God is making a covenant with Abraham, what did he tell Abraham? He said, Abraham, those who bless you, I will bless. Those who curse you, I will curse. You know what that is? That's that wall of relationship. And that's what Nehemiah is fixing to go back and rebuild. If we were to start mentioning walls, we don't really have time to even mention them. What about old Daniel? They threw him in a lion's den and a bunch of hungry lions. What kept those lions from devouring Daniel? That wall of protection. What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? What about them? They had a wall around them. They was in the fiery furnace. What about old Elisha? You remember old Elisha was out and the Syrian army has come to capture him. They're in the tent and the servant of Elisha looks out the curtain and he goes, oh man, Elisha, we're surrounded by the Syrian army. He comes back in. Elisha says, Lord, open his eyes. Let him see what you have provided for us. And he looked back out, and behind that Syrian army, he says, the hills were covered with chariots of fire and angels. He says, more are with us than there are against us. What is that? That's because Elisha had a relationship with God. Here's that wall that's being built up. Not only that, we see not only Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but these things, these walls were established by the relationships with God. Man, I want you to know Goliath didn't stand a chance against David. Didn't stand a chance. He could have reared back and threw that javelin or took his sword. Daniel, all he had to do was stand there. I don't know how God would have protected him, but he would have. Because there was a wall of protection. God allowed him to take that stone and sunk it in his forehead, and the battle was won because there was a wall of protection around Daniel. Do you want that wall? Man, all we've got to do is make sure our relationship with God is what it needs to be. So I want you to know, listen to the point of the first message that I was preaching, talking about the church that was adrift. The church accepts the thing, when the church accepts the things of the world and begin to practice the things of the world and accept the things that the Bible calls sin as normal in the church, our wall of relationship has been torn down, and that is what we're talking about this morning. If we knowingly accept the things that the Bible stands up against, we are a church adrift, and our wall of relationship does not exist. Man, I came across this scripture this week. I don't know that I even knew it was in the Bible. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. Now, it's up there, right there in the midst of all those other scriptures. I want you to keep this one in mind. Write it down in your memory or write it down on a note. Hosea chapter 4 and verse number 6. This is outstanding. Because this is, I'm afraid, is what's going on in our world today. Listen to what it says. Now, keep this in mind. Hosea is speaking 300 years before Nehemiah. Okay? I'm going to read another scripture in Amos. This is taking place 300 years before Nehemiah. And this is what Hosea says. He says, "My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priest." So did you notice that second phrase? He is talking. He says, my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. But he says, because you, now he's talking to the priest. He's talking to the spiritual leaders. I want you to know we have spiritual leaders in the world today. We have spiritual leaders in America. We have spiritual leaders all over the world today. But what he says, because you spiritual leaders have rejected knowledge, I also reject you. Because you have ignored the law of your God, I also will ignore your children. When you have preachers standing in the pulpit today and they are accepting the things that the Bible calls darkness, our walls have been torn down. Our relationships are gone. And that's what he's saying. I want you to know I put a large portion of the burden on preachers and spiritual leaders today that misuse God's Word to accept things that are ungodly today. He says, listen, the day is coming when I will reject my people because they lack knowledge, because you stand in the pulpit and you're afraid to speak the truth. Man, y'all need to run me out of Dodge if I start veering from the Word of God. All right? That's what you need to do. As a matter of fact, in Amos, again, I believe this scripture is true today. In Amos, he says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor of thirst of water, but a famine of the hearing of the word of the Lord." A famine of the hearing of the word of the Lord. Now, if somebody stands up and preaches the word, okay? If somebody is standing up and preaching the word, but if they're misusing the word of God to condone their lifestyle, that's not the Word of God. Okay? We need to keep that in mind. All right. One of the points that I made last week, and I'm not going to read Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 again, but in verse number 4, it did say, "And it came to pass when I heard these words," and he's basically talking about the relationship between God and the nation of Israel. When I heard these words, I sat down and I wept. I mourned for certain days. I fasted and I prayed before the God of heaven. I'll tell you what. It's time as God's people, when we recognize that our relationship is being is not what it needs to be, it ought to take us to a point that we weep, that we mourn, that we fast, and that we pray, because our relationship is not what it needs to be. So, now follow with me. Look in Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse number 8 and 9. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. I want you to know God loves for you to pray. And when you pray, He loves for you to pray back His own Scripture to Him. He loves that. He really does. And that is what Nehemiah is going to do right here. His heart is broken because of the relationship between the nation of Israel and God. So this is what he prays in verse number 8. He says, "Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations." And that is exactly what he done. God has scattered the nation of Israel all over the world as a result of their worshiping idols and stuff. But then verse 9, he says this. He's praying this right back to God, the very promise that God made. He says, "But if you turn unto me, and if you keep my commandments, and you do them, though there were of you cast out into the uttermost parts of heaven, yet will I gather thee from thence, and I will bring them into the place that I have chosen to set my name thereon." I want you to know this morning, no one, if you're listening at home, no one in this room has strayed so far away from God that God will not bring you home. That's what he's saying. Nehemiah is saying, "God, I know we are a sorry people. I know that we have strayed far away from you. But God, you promised. You promised. You said that if we will turn our hearts back to you, you will bring us back home, and you will bring us and make us a people, and you will serve us, and you will let there be a wall of protection between us and the world around us." Nehemiah just prays that prayer. And he is now ready for God to answer that prayer. I want you to know that Nehemiah did not know these scriptures. All right, some of these scriptures were not available to Nehemiah at the time. But when we read in 1 John 1 and 9, he tells you and me. I know some of you are saying it in your head right now. If you'll confess with your mouth, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Again, that's similar to what that David had done when he veered away from God in his relationship with Bathsheba, and he put Bathsheba's husband to death, and he had gotten out of relationship with God. Old David gets down in Psalms 51, and he says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." That's what he said. He is broken. This is what he tells us in the New Testament. If we'll confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a promise. In Joel chapter 2 and verse 25, again, here is another prophet prior to Nehemiah, and he prophesies this. He said, "I will restore unto you the years that the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palm worm, my great army which I sent among you, and then you shall eat plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord." This is what he's telling Nehemiah. This is what he's telling the nation of Israel. He said, "Now listen, look at the city of Jerusalem. Man, that thing is nothing but rubble right now. But I'm telling you, I can fully restore that relationship. I can fully restore that city and make it like it has never happened before. And we can build a relationship together." And you're going to start saying, "Hey, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. that can come back. So these are promises that Nehemiah didn't even know about. In Lamentations 3, in verse 22, it is the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. Whoo! Man, if I was to get what I deserved, but I don't. The Lord's mercy is the reason I'm not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is God's faithfulness towards us. Here's another. Man, I've seen so many revivals built around this scripture right here. 2 Chronicles 7:14, you know it. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. That's another one, a promise. These are promises that we find in the Scripture that we can use every single day. Man, if we'll recognize our relationship is torn down and we will just turn around and seek God and ask Him to forgive us, He will restore us. That's what He's telling us. I think I mentioned this that week. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. A kid called us and said, "Hey, Brother Wayne, I just want to know what your favorite verse in the Bible is." I said, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. And it says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And this is a promise that God says, I'll restore these relationships. Last one on that idea, Romans 5:20 says, "Moreover, the law entered and the offense might abound. But where sin abounds, grace much more abounds." It don't matter. It doesn't matter what you've done. If you want to have a relationship with God, seek after Him. Buddy, He's waiting on you. He's waiting on you. He's like the prodigal son's dad. He's standing there and he's looking over the horizon. He's just looking for you to come over the edge. And when he sees you, he's going to come running. You got to take the first step to rebuild this relationship. So Nehemiah, look in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 7. Nehemiah, if you want to, just keep your Bibles there in Nehemiah. We're going to look at several other scriptures right there and around Nehemiah. So Nehemiah's heart is broken for the relationship at Jerusalem, and he's broken because the wall is torn down. And we know, and we've seen that now he has prayed, he has fasted, he has mourned. He goes before the king. The king sees him, that is, his countenance is down. He said, "Nehemiah, what's wrong?" He says, "Man, don't you understand?" He says, "Why shouldn't I be down? My father's people and the nation that I live with," he says, "it's in rubble over there." He says, why shouldn't I be down? Well, I want you to know God worked on the king's heart. Now look what he says there. He says in verse number 7, "Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given unto the governor beyond the river, and that they may convey me over till I come unto Judah. And a letter unto Asphoth, the keeper of the king's forest, and he may give me timbers and to make beams from the gates in the palace which are next to the house, and for the wall of the city and for the house, and I will enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Then I came to the governors beyond the river, and they gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains and armies and horsemen with me." Look what had happened. Because Nehemiah had a desire to have this relationship, I want you to know God changed the hearts of the people around him. Do you think God can change the hearts of the people around you today? I will guarantee if you will seek after God, God's going to make a way for this to happen for you. All right? He is going to make a way. This is what he said. He said, "Okay, king, you gave me permission to go, but you understand, I don't have an army to take with me to protect me when I go, and I've got to go through all these countries. Would you write me letters to give me permission to go? And by the way, we're going to need some lumber over there to rebuild these gates. Do you think you can supply that for me?" He said, "Sure, Nehemiah. Whatever you need, buddy. Here, I'll write these letters so that they'll give you safe passage. Hey, why don't I go ahead and provide you an army so you can go over there and you'll have protection all the way over there so nobody will bother you. And when you get there, here's a letter for the king, from the king for you to send to these timber workers over there to cut you lumber that you're going to need to rebuild those gates. Oh my goodness. God's just making a way. He is just making a way for Nehemiah. I want you to know, if you want to restore your relationship with God, no matter where it's at right now, He's going to make a way. If you're willing to step out, He'll make a way for you. Look what the next thing. Look in verse number 11. Verse number 11. We're talking about this relationship being rebuilt. Look in verse 11. And in verse 11, Nehemiah has traveled these 900 miles with these army and these letters. And he gets there to the city. Oh, I love this. He says, "So I came to Jerusalem and I was there for 3 days. And I rose in the night, and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God has put in the heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the horse or the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well and before the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountains and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then went I up at night by the brook, and I viewed the walls and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned." Now listen, this is what it said just happened. Nehemiah gets to the city. He gets on his horse, or whatever he was riding, maybe a donkey, it doesn't say. But he gets on this beast, and now he is traveling around these walls. Every one of these gates that he mentions, these different gates, he was taking an inventory of what's been torn down. That's what he's doing. He's taking an inventory. He's driving up to, he rides up to this one gate, and he said, "My goodness gracious." He said, "This thing is a mess. This one's going to be hard. Well, here, I can't even get into the city through this gate. It's so torn up." So he goes around and he goes to the next gate. Same thing. Goes to the next gate. Same thing. It's torn down. Keep in mind, he is describing to us a physical gate, when the whole time me and you need to be thinking about spiritually. So here, just close your eyes a minute and think about you riding around in your spiritual life right now, and the relationship that we have with an almighty God, one who sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And we have to go and we have to look at our relationship, and it says, "Well, God, you know I love you, but I just don't have time to read my Bible." God says, "Listen, you need to understand, I don't ask you to read your Bible, I tell you to study my word." That's what He says. To show ourselves a workman who need not be ashamed. He doesn't say just read the Bible, He says study the Bible. He doesn't say just think about prayer, He says pray. Pray without ceasing. So you see, this is what Nehemiah is doing. He's going around this city wall, and he's looking and he's inspecting at what has been torn down. And he's taken an inventory of what needs to be repaired. So let me ask this morning. If you're taking an inventory this morning in your spiritual walk and your spiritual relationship with God, is there anything there that needs to be repaired? See, that's what Nehemiah's doing. I don't know if he has a notepad or whatever, but he's sitting going, "Okay, this gate right here, this is what we're going to need here. I'm going to have five new timbers right here. I'm going to have a group of men because there's a lot of stones that are on the ground. I'm going to have some mortar. I'm going to have this many bags of sackcrete. I'm going to have this. This is what it's going to take to repair this." We might be inventorying our lives right now. We might be saying, "You know what? I need to pick up my Bible more than once a week. I may need to pick up my Bible more than three times a week. I need to pray more than I pray. I need to be lifting up my family in prayer more than I've ever lifted up my family before. And when we read the Scripture, I don't mind telling you, I believe we're living in the last times, and we need to be urgent about the decisions that we're making about this relationship that we're having. I love Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 18. I don't have time to go through it, but it's talking about putting on the full armor of God. Maybe we need to go there and we need to look at our own lives. Do I wear the breastplate of righteousness? Do I have the helmet of salvation? Do I have the shield of faith with me? Have I girded my loins with truth? Do I have the shoes of the peace of the gospel of God? Do I have those things? Maybe we need to inventory and go, you know what, I'm lacking in some of those areas. It may be this morning, as we're looking at that, we might need to do something about it. My goodness, I hope you recognize the urgency of this. The urgency of this. Psalms 139, this is what David prays. David prays, he says, God, he says, search my heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. That's a prayer that maybe we need to pray this morning. God, I'm looking at my relationship, but I really don't know enough about how much is torn down that I need to address you about. God, would you search my heart and let me know what I need to do because I'm willing to do it. That's what he's saying. Search me, O God, and let me know. Look in verse number 17. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17. Verse number 17 says this, then said I unto them, remember he hadn't told anybody what his plan was yet, then I said unto them, you see the distress that we are in? How Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we may be no more a reproach. And this is what he was saying. Remember I told you how the ones that were living in the area just coming and going like they please? He said, listen, we need to stop that nonsense. We need to stop letting the world control our thoughts and our minds and our actions. We need to build a wall up and a relationship with God that the world stops determining how we live, how we dress, how we speak, what we listen to. We need to stop that nonsense. We need to build this relationship back. And this is what Nehemiah said. He says, man, it's time for us to not be a reproach anymore. Then I told them of the hand of God, which was good upon me, and also the king's words, and he had spoken unto me, and they said... Now, I'm going to just ask you to do something. This is what he said. They said, let us rise up and build. Would you just stand up for a second? Just rise up. Come on, just rise up right where you're at right now. This is what Nehemiah said. Nehemiah, he says, man, it's time to rebuild. And then they said, not Nehemiah, they said, would you say this morning, let's rise up? Hey. They recognized that the relationship with God had been broken. They said, let us rise up and do something about it. Be seated again. So they said, let us rise up and let us build. I'm almost done. Boy, that's a lot of scriptures to go through, but I'm almost done. Nehemiah chapter 3, verse number 1. And I have to tell you, I cannot pronounce these names, and I'm not going to try. Don't hold it against me. I'll try that first one. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priest, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it. They set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mia. They sanctified it. unto the tower of Hamel, and next to him builded the men of Jericho. In this scripture right here, when you look through chapter number 3, it says 29 times. 29 times it refers to, here is the priest and the ones that serve with him. They come out and they rebuild the wall right there next to them where the sheep come in, where they commit the sacrifices. They said they came together and they rebuilt that wall, that portion of the wall together. Together they did it. And next to them, and it gives another name of a group of people, next to them, they rebuilt this section of wall. And next to them, here's somebody else, and they're rebuilding this section of wall. And next to them, 29 different times it refers to the people of Israel working together to do what? To rebuild a physical wall? Yes, but at the same time they're rebuilding this physical wall, they are rebuilding their relationship with God. And when I look at that, I see a picture of Acts chapter 2 where it says this, and it says, when they accepted Jesus Christ as the Messiah, then they gladly received His word. They were baptized in the same day. They were added to the church about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And it says, and they, Acts chapter 2, verse 46, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread together, going house to house. Let me tell you, this is what we need to do. We need to start serving the Lord together. We as a church, we need to recognize that in the world around us, there are people who need to have relationships with God built into their lives. The only way that we're going to be able to reach them, though, is to make sure our relationship is where it needs to be. So let me just ask the question this morning. Is your relationship where it needs to be? Oh, Nehemiah got on his beast of burden and he went from gate to gate to gate. He made an inventory and he says, listen, this is what we need to do to rebuild this wall. But what he's asking us to do, this is what we need to do to build our relationship to the point that we can reach other people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is it that needs to be rebuilt in your lives today? Is there anything? If you inventory your life right now and you go, well, Brother Wayne, I want you to know everything in my life is lined up pretty much, then rise up and build. Then rise up and build. If your relationship is not what it needs to be, then what we need to do is we need to get that right. Look at that list. If we need to start reading more, if we need to start studying more, if we need to call somebody and help them be an accountability partner, just like they did in Acts and going house to house and breaking the bread and sharing what God has done for us in our life, then let's do that. But let's get that relationship built back to where it needs to be so that we can reach people around us with the gospel of Christ. The time is near that we won't have that opportunity anymore. Are you ready to rise up? Let's stand together and have a word of invitation. Father, thank you again for this opportunity. It's unbelievable how you can put a story and an event in your word that happened over 2,500 years ago. And it can be so applicable to us today in 2022. It's just amazing how your word is alive and effective even today. So God, help us this morning. Take your word and apply it to our life. If there are any decisions that need to be made this morning, God, I pray that you'll feel free to move in and amongst us. Your Holy Spirit is welcome here today. God, just move in our hearts. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the solid Word of God that endures all time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Listen.